Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It indeed is good to be here again. So thankful for the opportunity to look into the Word and share what God has laid on my heart. And I do covet your prayers. There's a verse that I often think of in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words would be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I'm not in chains quite like he was there, but we still battle and we need the prayers. And we need to realize that without Jesus, we can do nothing. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to share, but know that I want God to be honored and glorified, and that I want to do what I do for him, and that I could do it for his glory. Let's have prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come again before you. Thank you for the things that were already shared and just for the blessings that we have in Jesus and for a reason to live, a reason to come together. And just ask, Lord, that your Spirit would work in our hearts, that we would be open to what you have for us. May you be honored and glorified in it all. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, the title that I have here is Rejoicing in Hope. Now, I don't know about you. I have a feeling that there's pretty many people here that have struggles from time to time. And I know for a fact that within our fellowship, we have lots of struggles. And I don't think that is a big secret to many. But what do we do with those struggles? And I'd like to look at a few things today about rejoicing in hope, because we do have hope. Now, this message is probably more so for those that know Jesus and have the hope. And if you don't know Jesus and don't have the hope, I would encourage you to do what is necessary, and that is come to Jesus, because that's the only place you will find the hope that we are talking about. When most people think of hope, it is so often used as, I hope, in the sense of, it is something we wish for. But that thing cannot really be sure of. For example, the weather, or some type of material thing that we hope we can get. Or, I hope so-and-so wins the presidency, or seeking after someone. All these things we can never be certain of. Real hope, or biblical hope, is not a mere wishful thinking, nor a blind desire to have something happen. Christian hope is a firm conviction that God's promises will indeed materialize. And I know those of us that know the Lord, we know that, but how often do we fail to hang on to that? And we see whatever's going on around us, and then our hope fades away. There's a promise that we have. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a promise that I know I've hung on to many times, because Satan is accuser of the brethren, and he tries to tell you that, you know, you did this, you did that, and it's too late. That's a lie. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do I believe that? If so, then how do I live that out? True confessed sin will result in a change. There are so many of these promises and commands. However, so often, either we don't take the time to find them, or we forget about them. If you're like me, you know, we go through life and we know this thing and we kind of forget about it because we get busy. That's why we need to be in the Word so much. God wants a pure church, and part of that is each of us following through with His Word. We each have a responsibility that are part of this fellowship to follow through with God's Word, to be in the Word, to believe, and to not doubt. The concept of faith is related to hope. Hebrews 11 is all full of faith stuff, and we'll be looking at a little bit of that. Now, faith is the assurance of what we hope for and the certainty of what we do not see. Here we see that our hope is based on something that we know will happen. It is certain that God's word is true and we can stand on it. We know that God created the earth and everything that is therein. I happen to believe that God did it in 7 days, and I know there's people out there that question that. But we know that God created the earth, and Satan's going to do what he can to try to convince us that certain things just happened. Well, they happened under God's rule and God's word. We know that Christ came to save us from our sins if we accept him. That is truth. And that's for each one of us. Now, some of us may not have gotten there or understand that enough that we have claimed that, but that is truth. We know that Christ will come again, and it could be any day. We are told to watch. We too often need to see things to believe in them, even though those things are not firm. Such as I mentioned, the material things. It's amazing what we trust in when we see something. You know, every time you get on the road or in the air or whatever it is, you're trusting in this vehicle or this airplane that is really, when you think about it, a lot could go wrong. But we just do that. Material things are fleeting. Matthew 6:19, do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust do corrupt. Material things change and cannot guarantee us anything. So you know what we do? We end up getting insurance to try to make sure that we can have that thing or something to replace it. I can assure you that there are many people down south right now that had went through the hurricane that can tell you that material things are fleeting. I am sure Job can tell you a lot about that, and you can read about it in the book of Job. I'm so glad that we have that account, and I'm so glad that we have the account of Job who stood strong and firm even though all that changed in his life. May our hope be based on what we are anticipating, which is a heaven and life after this earth. In Hebrews 11, we see that God was faithful to all that put their hope in him. Many that have gone on before us have trusted in God's promises. And I'd like to just read just a few or part of a few different verses here. If you pay attention when you're reading the Word, or if you go into the Word and start looking for hope and rejoicing in hope, there is an awful lot in there, but too often we don't take the time for it because we're busy. May some of that busyness go away, and may we take the time. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. All creation hopes for redemption, Romans 8, 23 to 25. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11, 1. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 19. Be sober and hope to the end, 1 Peter 1, 13. Hope looks at the future. How many times do you hear people say, oh, I hope that yesterday? It doesn't work. Hope looks to the future. There's a little boy stood with his father looking at a group of puppies in the window of a pet shop. Dad said, which one would you take if you had a choice? One of the puppies was wagging his tail, and the little fellow pointed to that particular puppy and said, I'd like the one with the happy ending. Hope is to do with the future, and especially a happy ending. Hopelessness in this life. I'm sure that many of us could speak to something in this life that has let us down, that maybe we hoped for, and it wasn't what we thought, because we deal with that so much in this life and in this society. As we see in this life, there's so many uncertainties. We constantly need to hold on to the hope. We can, and people have faced many things in this life. Many people have had long illnesses or pain or different things, and they stayed hopeful. Many people have faced many financial pressures and material losses. So many things can be faced if we do not lose hope. So much of this world loses hope. So that's why we use crutches such as all types of medications, alcohol, tobacco, drugs. Some of the latest things is the legalization of all kinds of marijuana forms. And if that doesn't do it, entertainment, entertain yourself. This world has so much to keep us busy, then we don't have to think about hopelessness. When was the last time you spent hours praying or studying and meditating on what Jesus has done for you? May I challenge you along with myself, the more time we spend with Jesus and meditating on his word, the less time we have a chance, we have to chase after the things of this world. I must admit, when I'm there and close to Jesus, which I want to be more, the things of this earth grow strangely dim. How many times do you stop and say, when life is over, this thing, or this entertainment, or this whatever it is, isn't going to even matter. Not one bit of it. Let us remember those things. King Solomon came to the conclusion that life is much too short to truly satisfy. In Ecclesiastes, we'll be talking about a few things there in chapter 1. The natural world is an endless cycle of perpetual change, yet everlasting sameness. The sun rises and the sun sets, only to repeat it again. The wind blows, only to circle about and blow again. The rivers flow to the sea, only to evaporate and fall as rain into the rivers again. The human life is the same. One generation is born, only to die and be forgotten and be replaced by another. How does that sound? Well, if you're living for this life, it doesn't sound too pretty. But if you're living for Jesus, it means a lot. Because that cycle, we aren't just doing it just to do it over again. We're doing it for a good reason. How about nostalgia? The feeling of nostalgia identifies the fleeting nature of life. This one is kind of, I recognize this one pretty much because I've just been in the process of going through a garage full of stuff. Nostalgia is the remembrance of a happy time in our life and a longing to return to that time. How many times do you want to hold on to something because that happened earlier in my life, or that, you know, it'd be neat to kind of do that? Whatever that is that's important to you. It is what causes people to keep all kinds of sentimental things. That happy memory is mingled with pain because we realize we can never return to that happy time. In our minds, we can think about it, but we can't return to that. It wasn't that long ago, and I think I made the comment, it'd be really neat to be sitting around the table with all the children home again as children. That can't happen again. That won't happen again. And that's okay. It shouldn't happen again. I'm thankful that my children are all grown, and some of them have children, and I'm thankful they love the Lord. But life goes on, and we can't sit and think about all the past. We can think about how God has blessed us. That is a blessing, but again, that comes back to what Jesus has done, not something to make me feel good. All earthly happiness has an end. The human heart longs for something more enduring, something eternal. I'm thankful that in Jesus we have that. And I trust that you have that also, or seek him to find it. Pleasure and riches do not satisfy, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Solomon found that all the happiness we may hope for in this brief life does not ultimately satisfy. He sought to wisely feed his passions. He built luxurious houses surrounded by gardens and orchards. He accumulated great wealth. He sought pleasure and splendor, dignity, and the beauty of art and nature. That sounds a little bit like what's happening a lot in this world. In Ecclesiastes 2, it also says, "So I became great and surpassed all in Jerusalem who had preceded me, and my wisdom remained with me. Anything my eyes desired, I did not deny myself. I refused my heart no pleasure, for my heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet, when I considered all the works that my hands had accomplished and what I had toiled to achieve, I found everything to be futile, a pursuit of the wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun." When life is all said and done, and all the things that we have accumulated isn't going to matter. But a walk with Jesus will. Wise living is pointless if it is about this life only. Solomon gave himself to wisdom and wise living. Scripture describes him as the wisest man alive. We might reason, yes, life is brief, hopes may be disappointed, pleasures may not really make us happy. But surely the best a man can do is live a noble and wise life and be satisfied that he has lived well. Solomon did that, but he found no hope in it. Wise living is better than foolish living. However, many times the same disasters come upon the wise as the fool. There are wicked men who prosper, and there are righteous men who perish. Solomon observed, "All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean. As is the good, so is the sinner." That's chapter 9, verse 2. It appears that health and sickness, prosperity and calamity, fame and humiliation befall men without regard for their moral character. In the years to come, the wise man is no more remembered by people than the foolish man. Now, I know some wise men were remembered when it comes to, like, inventions or things like that. But guess what? It doesn't matter what invention or what thing I invent. That doesn't get me to heaven. Wise living does, however, make life better in the sense that when we follow the wisdom found in the Word, there is hope in life. When we follow the wisdom found in the world, life is pointless. Of course, Solomon found no real hope in this world. Life is short, and pleasure does not really satisfy. So if you're chasing things, if you're chasing pleasure, if you're chasing entertainment for the next thrill, it'll get empty, and then you got to do it again. We must get past life in this world where we know in our hearts that our future and our hope is in eternal life. It doesn't mean that we don't work or realize the beautiful things and people God has given us in this world. But we must understand, teach, and live out in our lives so our children can see that our hope and our future is not in this world. Some people say, get your child to say a certain prayer at 6 years old or 7 years old or 8 years old, and then they are all set. Some people say, get your children to wear this or that or act right, and they grow up thinking, if I do this and that and I do this right and I do that right, then I'm all right. Hopefully, we know that is not the case. Hebrews 13:14 through 15, for here we do not have a permanent city, but we are looking for the city that is come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Nothing here in this world is going to satisfy. There is a song that was put in your white folder on your benches there. I know there's not too many white folders, but you can share it around. And probably most of you people know this song. The song is, This World Is Not My Home. And I'm going to ask if we would stand and sing that right now. Brother Josh, if you would lead us out in that.
This world is not my home. You bring my
Be seated. At the top of that song, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." That's Hebrews 11:13. So how are you living? Can you truly sing this song the way it's written? Or are you caught up in the things of this world? I'd like to look at just a few biblical examples of hope. Abraham was about 75 years old when God promised that they would have a child and this would produce a great nation. If you were Abraham, would have you given up? Years passed, and when Abraham was 99, the Lord appeared to him and informed him that in about a year his wife would have a son. Paul says in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, "Who against hope, Abraham, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be." So when life gets difficult and things don't seem to happen, we are quick to forget that what God says will happen, will happen. The promise given to Abraham was that it shall happen. The promises given to us are many. We have to take the time to find them in his word. And if we do what God says and believe his promises and commands, we will be blessed and we will have hope. In Lamentations chapter 1, it talks about Jeremiah, the account of Jeremiah, weeping over the city of Jerusalem. Jeremiah sat on the hillside and wept for a long time. But when you get to the middle of Lamentations, chapter 3, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good for a man that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." How many times has these verses been a blessing and encouragement to possibly many of us? We can hope in this life also. I know we looked at a lot of things that made it seem like this life is worthless, but it's not if we're a Christian. The Apostle Paul was chained to a guard in the Roman prison, yet he did not moan about his situation. Instead, he rejoiced in his sufferings because his hope was in God. I read this and it's like, you don't really think about this, but here's some things that are results of Paul sitting in prison. Some of the guards believed in the gospel. Onesimus, the runaway slave, was converted. Four New Testament epistles were written during Paul's imprisonment. How many of us would have hope in that situation sitting in a prison? Because if you're like me, you see the dark side. And instead of looking at the bright side. How many of us would use that time for prayer and growth in the Lord? Many times we can't even stop long enough to spend 1 hour in prayer and several hours in the Word. So many times I've heard things like, well, it's really what's in the heart that matters. This is true, but it's also true that what is in the heart comes out in our actions and our words. So if we're spending time trying to entertain ourselves, we're spending time trying to find hope in something other than God's word, we're spinning our wheels. Paul says in Philippians 1, 20 and 21, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We see Paul had earnest hope in his God. Rejoicing in hope. Earthly hope is most often easy in this society because there is always something that we can go to and get. If we're not happy with this, the world has something else for you to make you happy. We oftentimes do not have to face difficulties to the point of learning to trust God for all. There are times things come up in our life that we realize that there is nothing that can change this situation except God. And for those that have been caught up in the politics, when you can get to the point where you realize that God sets up and God takes down, and you know that, and you believe that in your heart, it doesn't matter what happens in Washington. They're not the ones that give us ultimate hope. They give us a lot of earthly hope, depending what happens, but not the ultimate hope. We can keep so busy and have so many things to enjoy that we take so much for granted. Rejoicing in hope, even in the midst of sorrow. I'm thankful that God is the one that makes life. We read that in Psalms 139, I believe. And we can trust him for that. Rejoicing in hope is resting in quiet confidence that God is in control. Life may seem out of control and full of confusion. We may not understand why God allows certain things. Romans 8:23, the Christian's hope is the confidence that God is working all things together for the ultimate good. Do we believe this? When I am fretting, am I believing that? Rejoicing in hope means that we live and face life with the steadfast expectation that God will act to fulfill his promises. Sometimes it may seem that God has forgotten, but our hope as Christians is that someday God will redeem us. Rejoicing in hope means that we are willing to give up our hopes and dreams for this life, in order to obtain something better. Hebrews 11:24, by faith Moses, when he was grown, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer oppression with God's people rather than to experience the fleeting enjoyment of sin. He valued disgrace for Christ above the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Do you see Jesus? Are we willing to accept what God has for us and allow God to mold and shape us into his image? It's just so much easier to base our hopes more on the things of this earth than on the hope of life beyond the grave, because we see these earthly things. We are a people that go after things that we can grasp and get a hold of. instead of faith. That's why self is so damaging, because self wants what I want and wants to feel secure in what I have. So many of life's troubles we see as terrible, but if we can step back and rejoice in them, we can see them from a different light. Just believing that God has our best interests in mind. What a peace. What a joy. Is your hope in the stuff of this world? Hope for the next vacation. Hope for the next time I can be with my friends. Our business venture. Our next car, our truck, our cycle, our house, our land. It goes on and on. We can just keep so busy, going for the next thing. Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your heart? Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." If your heart is seeking after Jesus and his word and the things that he wants, you can keep your heart with all diligence. Can we see the difficult things as God working in our life to bring us to the ultimate hope? Life with Jesus as our Lord and Savior, knowing that when all is said and done in our life, we will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Then we will be ushered into the final hope. Colossians 1:5 says, "The faith and love proceeding from the hope stored up in you in heaven, in which you have already heard of the word of truth, the gospel." Are you rejoicing in hope this morning? Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Overflowing with hope. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the hope that you give us. We thank you for your word that has so many promises. Help us, Lord, to seek after you. Help us to love your word. Help us to walk in that hope that we have in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done and what you do for us each day. Forgive us, Lord, when we seek our own ways, and help us, Lord, to seek after you and rest in that hope. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like us to sing another song, number 325. Let's stand and sing this. And then Brother Emmanuel can come up after that.